Proverbs 1. Today, I would like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 8. Interesting thing. Let me get my pad opened up here so that I can be notorious. When you talk about the book of wisdom, we look at Proverbs, but the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh, if you would, had three portions. It had the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. The Torah being the first five books, the law, we call it the Pentateuch, the books of poetry and prophecy, and the books of history. And this is that poetry and prophecy. And I want to share with you, when we say that, I don't want to confine it to just those books, because prophecy is laced throughout from Genesis forward, amen? And so any portion, and even in the New Testament, much in the New Testament has today to prove out prophecy. And so with that in mind, prophecy was set forward and then fulfilled that we might have a confidence in the promises of the Lord Christ Jesus through the knowledge of His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we open this, if you would with me, as you open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8, you're stepping back about 3,000 years. So Solomon would be the one who would write these. And it is interesting to me, as Pastor pointed out last week, both in the book of Kings and in the book of Chronicles, we see that Solomon asked for wisdom. And wisdom is an interesting term. We'll find out today that wisdom was with God even before the creation process began. And that is a beautiful thing. So many people, and we'll talk about maybe some error that was made early on, thinking that they try to associate, while Jesus Christ is great in wisdom, and we see the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus, wisdom in itself is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brings wisdom, and we'll be taking a look at that. God brings wisdom. The Holy Spirit brings wisdom. But we can have wisdom. Wisdom is whenever we take knowledge and apply it properly in a situation. Amen? So we have information, we have knowledge, and then wisdom shows us how to set that forward. And so in this Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to begin that now. And so my title was Wisdom, the Praise of Yahweh. And the first thing that we're going to look at, we're going to look at all the entire book this morning. I'll try to move along quickly, which if you know me is not an easy task. I've been known to take a few rabbit trails. But let's look at these first three verses as we look at wisdom cry out. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of a high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates and at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Now, in the seventh proverb, we've seen kind of a seductress and kind of a wanton situation of the foolishness of a woman. And here we see wisdom personified as a woman, but a gracious, kind, loving, benevolent, if you would, woman. And in this place, it's not something that is high and above us, but literally begins at the street level and then brings forth. It is such a beautiful chapter. I was praying about what chapter to bring, and I was not sure what Pastor was going to do. He let me know yesterday that he had asked me to bring today, so I was praying, this eighth chapter came forward. G. Campbell Morgan said of Proverbs 8, there is nothing greater or grander in the biblical literature as setting forth the beauty and the grace of that wisdom which is in the fear of Jehovah, its chief part. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm reminded, you know, I'm involved in worship and I love worship, but I'm reminded of how God, through worship, we come into that place where He's beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of Your love? You are beautiful beyond description. You are majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of You. That is what wisdom would call us to. Wisdom would call us to the place where there is one God, there is no other. And He is worthy of our praise. Why? Because He redeemed us. There's the wisdom of men, and we'll talk about that as we go on. But it is in the wisdom of God that our redemption was set forth from the foundation of the world. And so she cries out. It's a cry to all men. It's a cry in the city gate. It's a cry at the mall, if you would. The city gate was where government took place, where things happened. So she's here in this place, and it's a passionate cry. It's a cry that is insistent, because when somebody is in trouble and you care for that person, you do everything in your power to turn them around. And that's the cry of wisdom. To you, O men, and in verse 4, And I want to look at the goodness of her call. So the first was the call of wisdom to all men. Now the goodness of her call. And this is in verse 4 through 11. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. You, simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, all right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, not silver, and acknowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, All the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. This, once again, this cry, this goodness that comes from this, first is that of a warning. It is of danger. It is to turn around, to approach. In Jeremiah 29, it says, you will find me when you seek me, when you are hunger after me. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. There's a desire, and with that a desire to take in, for they shall be filled. Why? Because wisdom has taken us to the place where we understand that only in God can we be redeemed. There is a danger in any other trust. It's simple to understand. Look at the beginning of this, verse 4 through 11. She says, I call to the simple. You know, Mark Twain said, it is not the hard things of the Bible that confound me or trouble me. It's the simple things. And the reason for that was he did not want to submit to the simple things. The simple truth that there is one God and one Savior, Christ Jesus, bothers people when he say, you cannot get to heaven any other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so as we look at this here, this is something we want to see. She is the truth. My lips speak truth. You know, there's wisdom in the government of man. Amen? Isn't that true? I mean, the Egyptians had wisdom, didn't they? The Babylonians had wisdom. But their wisdom did not... It was simply that by which they governed other men. And there was wisdom in that. And wisdom is a gift from God, but wisdom beyond truth becomes self-reliant and not God-reliant. Okay? So it's one of those, well, I'll just pick myself up by the bootstraps and I'll do it my way. Saints, for those of you that know me, 1 year ago, I was laying on my back in a bed. I laid there for 28 days. And in this year, I have grown more in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ than I have in the previous 64 years of my life. And I believe it was because God had the wisdom to shut me down for a little bit and let me grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. But it is that wisdom, that truth, that brings salvation. You know, man exercises wisdom that no other creature exercises. We were made in the image of God. If God has wisdom, we are given wisdom, and it's amazing. Think about the things that we've learned mechanically, mathematically, astronomically, all these different areas where we've applied wisdom, and yet we miss the wisdom of humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We want to exalt ourselves. Peter, in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's wisdom. But it took Peter a while to get there, didn't it? He was very prideful, wasn't he? Oh, I'll never forsake you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Tend my lambs. Three times. Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know. I don't even know my own heart, Lord, but you know. Strengthen the church. Strengthen the things that remain. In the book of Job, the 28th chapter, and you can pop over there real quick if you would. That would be left in your Bibles from where you are. I'm a truck driver by trade, and so you'll hear me say left or right. In the 28th chapter of the book of Job, beginning in the 12th verse, it says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not within me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, which was a precious, precious gold, the precious onyx and the sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. See, sometimes we think that it is wise to pursue wealth. But if we simply pursue the Lord and His wisdom, then He adds to us the right things. And in some ways, like Solomon, because he asked for wisdom, and look why he asked. He says, I want wisdom because I want to lead the people you love. That's what Solomon asked. And he was just a young man. And he sees what's been set out before him, and he sees the struggles his father David had, and before that King Saul, and before that the judges. And he says, you know, Lord, I cannot do this without you, and I need your wisdom. Now, it's interesting that God does give him wisdom, but along with that, he gives him wealth. And that wealth actually stumbles Solomon, doesn't it? And at the end of his life, he writes the Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. In the stock market crash of 1929, a man was totally devastated financially. He recovered to his point, but in that devastation, he found Christ. His statement after that, as he continued on and up into later years, he said, when I had everything, everything was my God. When I lost everything, God became everything to me. Wow. Great wisdom. And so we see the goodness of wisdom. What wisdom gives, what she brings and has. Look at, if you would, verse 12, and we're going to continue on to verse 21. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Understand that it's not to abstain from evil. We want to do that. But to understand evil, for what evil is wisdom. Satan comes for what? John 10:10, would you tell it me? Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to eschew, to turn away from, to realize the destructive value there is. And that's what it is. It's a value of destruction, isn't it? Satan, there's no good thing. And in this, we see that pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, these things I hate. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, and let nothing come between those two things. I am an old man, and I'm going to date myself. Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces hide the traces of the evil that lurks within. Beware, beware of the pat on the back. It just might hold you back. Don't let the handshake and the smile fool you. Take my advice. They're only trying to get you. I'm not going to use that term. But that's that song, Smiling Faces. We want it to be true. It says, counsel is mine, good counsel, and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. You know, when you see wisdom, wisdom is one of the attributes of the Lord. Amen? We've talked about that already. And I share this at the men's fellowship. We have a men's fellowship on Saturday mornings. We're currently in the book of Revelation. But if you would, turn left again. I'm sorry, left? No, right. Turn right in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, I'm going to be looking at verse 2, but I'm going to start in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. If you were to look at the menorah, that center staff, I would call that the branch. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. What a great, great description of this. Counsel is mine. Back in Proverbs, counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. Now, that is God's given wisdom. But sometimes the wisdom of men is perverse, isn't it? And so there are those who would rule or even lead in the way of others. Today, as a pastor or as an elder in the church, we would never want to drive people. But we would woo, we would call. And there should be a selflessness as we serve one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's wisdom in that. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. The shepherd in the Eastern culture sang to the sheep. Many times they would be gathered together for protection in a group called a sheepfold. And that shepherd could come and he would literally woo his flock by the familiarity of his voice. And they would be they could trust that shepherd to lead them out into green pastures. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It is wisdom when we hear God's voice. And so we want to see that. But many times in Kings, and understand when she says this, when wisdom is being described, wisdom can be used for good. But wisdom in and of itself, without the leading of the Holy Spirit, we have to be careful, don't we? I love those who love me. There's the key. Verse 17. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. And once again, I made reference to it, but I'm going to turn over there just for you to see Jeremiah chapter 29, I believe it is, verse 13, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. This is the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where you have been driven, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place which I caused you to be carried, from which I caused you to be carried away captive. That is the call to Israel, but it is the call today to anyone who has felt that they are estranged from God. Today, right now, this moment, if this were to go out on the airways, if someone else was to hear and they're not where they should be, my plea to them is the same plea that wisdom would cry at the city gate, turn around. Turn around. It's not wise to pursue your own league if that league is not with God. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. Enduring riches. What's an enduring rich? Only one life. Listen very closely. Only one life. Soon it will pass. Only what's done for Jesus will last. I'm going to take us back to something that some of you may be familiar with, but in the jungles, whenever they go to catch monkeys, monkeys are hard to catch. You go figure, right? But the monkey can be caught, and it sounds cruel, but in some places that is part of a diet, and they will catch these monkeys. How they catch these monkeys is they take a coconut and they drill a hole in it and they fill the coconut with warm rice. And the monkey sticks his hand in there to get the rice, and whenever he holds it in his fist, he can't get his hand out of the coconut, which means he's easily netted. If he would just let go of the rice, he could escape. So many times, we're holding on to the things of this world. Oh, if I could just get that car. Oh, if that job would be the fulfillment of my life call. Oh, that relationship. Oh, that MasterCard. Oh, that big screen TV. Why do we work so hard? You know, in the Bible it says, we work and we put our money in sacks with holes in it. Wow. Riches and honor are mine. My fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Wealth unspeakable and full of glory, the half of which has not yet been told. When we get to heaven, you know, I heard a guy the other day, sometimes we get on these health kicks, first of the year, right? And this guy's eating a kale salad. And his description of it, this tastes like somebody mowed the grass and put salad dressing on it. You know, that's the way it's going. We're going to look at the things of the world and go, really? I was so wound up about that. In the balance of God's glory. So we look at that, and then the history. And we're just going to blow through this real quickly. But in the next 10 verses, look at the history. The history is what's going to qualify. History is like a resume, isn't it? So this is going to be the resume of wisdom, and then the call again. Would you hear? Would you hear? And so, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me. Interesting thing, and notice it doesn't say the Lord created me. And I checked the ESV last night. If you haven't noticed, I'm teaching out of the NKJV. That's because me and this old buddy of mine right here, we've been together a long time. And so this is my switch Bible. You know how guys on the street, they got their switchblade and stuff? And this is my sword. This is my switch Bible. This is why I turn too fast. Okay? So you guys, when I teach, you get KJV. It's just the way it is. I'm not saying he is, but there are translations that are out there that use the term instead of possessed, created. That created come from the Alexandrian school, and it was an allegorical school. And Arius used that, and it is through that that he equated Jesus as to be equal or to be the wisdom personified. And that is an error. Jesus is part of the Godhead. When God said, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and in Genesis when he said, let us make man in our image, wisdom was an attribute, but not that which is Christ Jesus. Amen? It's very, very important that we see that, because if we don't see that, verses like this can mislead us. But notice it doesn't say that he was created. It says he was possessed, and that is actually the correct word. In the Hebrew, I can't remember it right now off the top of my head, but in the Hebrew, this is the proper application of it. It says, he possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting and from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Anybody have a problem with Genesis 1:1? Because if you do, you're going to have a problem with the rest of this book. Okay, 1,189 chapters, 773,000 words, and I'm telling you right now, if you have a problem with chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Genesis, you're going to struggle with the rest of it. But if you can wrap your mind around it, doesn't mean you have to understand it. Just by faith, accept it. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. But in this place, from beyond the vanishing point, you ever done those dimensional drawings where you go out beyond the vanishing point? From beyond the vanishing point, there was God, and wisdom was with God. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the primal dust of the world. Primal dust. I think, is it in Ecclesiastes? From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. I think, but you know in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, from the dust of the earth, God created man. Genesis 2, 7. And what did he do? He breathed life into him. I think that's very important. Wisdom was there when man came. And when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle in the face of the deep. You know, the earth hangs out here. And in the book of Job, we found out the earth hangs out here. But for a long time, we thought, well, the earth is a big old table, and if you go out too far, whoop! Right? But along the way, somebody read the book of Job and said, I don't think that's the way it is. Or they could read places like this where we see that circle. And when he established the clouds above and he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit so that the waters could not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, when I was beside him as a master craftsman. A master craftsman. I like to say it this way. God has a tool in his box called wisdom. And he knows how to use it. If you've ever been around a welder, some guys are just very talented with a torch. That's the tool in their box, and they know how to use it. Someone else may, a baker, may have a particular way they do something. That's a tool, and they know how to use it. Wisdom is the tool of the Lord. Now, the beauty of it is, he doesn't hoard it. He imparts it. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. It is God's desire, it is God's delight to give you wisdom. When he assigned the sea and its limits so that the waters could not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. There is a delight in this. The Bible says in Psalm 27, Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to wrap this up in just a minute, but I want you to see something with me. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, He was taken into a desert place and He said, "These kingdoms are mine, all the kingdoms of the earth are mine, and I will give them to whomever I please, and I will give them to you, Jesus, if you will but worship me." And Jesus refused that because He knew that fulfillment only came. Wisdom showed Him that it only came through the fullness of God. Delight yourself in the Lord. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, we disarm Satan. When we make anything else our delight, we have to be so very careful. Because if we're delighted too greatly in that, we can be misled. But we can delight ourselves in intellect. Intellect will not completely fulfill the needs of your heart. We can delight ourselves in wealth. We can delight ourselves in relationships, as I've already mentioned. But that's not what is it. Appears in this last little portion, I want you to see that as she's presented herself now as a gift from God through the Lord God Almighty, now she says, "I appeal to you, receive this gift. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed is the man." I mentioned that already as we started today. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ways of the Lord. When was the last time, and I'm going to do this very quickly, but when you pray, when you read, like right now we're reading, pray that you're reading Proverbs 12 today, Proverbs 13 tomorrow, Proverbs 14, but don't just blow through it. Interact over it. Pray over it. When you look at the Ten Commandments, when was the last time you prayed through the Ten Commandments? Martin Luther made a practice of that. Thou shalt have no other God. Wherever we spent our time, where our calendar is set, where our checkbook is set, what we covet can become our God. Lord, forgive me. I have had other gods. Thou shalt make no graven image. Oh Lord, would you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. When was the last time I professed Christ but walked in the shame of the flesh? Lord, please forgive me. You see what I'm saying? When was the last time you prayed through the Lord's Prayer? You are my Father and I thank you. You are in heaven to be exalted. Praying through the Apostles' Creed, praying through the Word. When we open the Word, are we just blowing through it because it's our duty? Or are we in it because it's our desire? So as we continue and flesh this out for today, finish this up, I turn two pages at once. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Remember when we started this? It was common for every man. It was something. Understand, you don't have to be like John Lennon and run off with some Middle Eastern shaman holy man. It's not above any one of us. Everybody in this room is given by the power of the Holy Spirit the ability to receive instruction from God's Word. The question is not, can we get it? The question is, what are we going to do with it? It's there. It's available for all of us. And so she appeals to be heard. And finally, the reward and the folly. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. How many, and I don't need a show of hands, but how many of us are living today to hear, "Well done"? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the rest of the Lord. Well done. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. Have you ever heard that passage in the New Testament where it says, he who knows much will be beaten with many stripes, and he who knows little will be beaten with few. Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, here's our God, a loving, kind, all-encompassing God. And yet, we see this, if you will, damnation, where you, if you knew much, you would be beaten with many stripes. Can I share with you that that is not God? That that is the evidence, or if you would, the repercussions of what we've sown in the flesh. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. And so if we know God's goodness, if we've studied out God's word, if we've been involved with the fellowship of the saints, and then turn and walk away from it, have any of you ever made a decision and then look back and go, man, I wish I'd have done that different? Can you imagine eternity reflecting on the fact that you've missed God's charity? That's why. But you see the difference? It's not God. God's not that kind of a... It's we would have eternity to remember our failure. Now, the other side of that is in the book of Revelation, it says he's going to dry our tears, and that we're not going to remember. It says, he's cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Interesting term. Why the east from the west? Because no matter how far east you go, you'll never go west. You can go north to absolute north, and then you're going to go south. Interesting term. God's word is so cool. And so we finish this up this morning, and ladies, if you'd come, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Literally, what that means is that those who do not seek after the Lord's wisdom, the gravity of that is to be lost. And so that's why we see the cry. That's why we see today that there is a praise in God through wisdom. That goodness is from those who would seek her. She has a goodness to her. There is a wisdom that wisdom there is a wisdom, and she gives. It's a gift. She has a history of service through the Lord God to mankind, and she appeals to be heard. And it would be foolish not to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and for the opportunity to spend some time together in your word. And we would pray right now that if we have been estranged from you for any reason, we could take this moment and draw close to you. James tells us, Lord, that if we will draw nigh unto God, you will draw nigh unto us. That we are to turn and flee from the enemy. And so, Lord, in this moment, at this time, as we have worked through your word, now work on our hearts. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let's take a moment again for worship.